Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Square. Accept every card for the same rate and deposit your money fast with free chargeback protection, no commitment, or hidden fees. Sign up now to get free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. And by Bitbucket from Atlassian. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. Start your free account today at bitbucket.org/forthecode. And by WordPress. More websites run on WordPress than on any other platform. Create your website today and get 15% off at wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. That's wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 311, recorded on Tuesday, March 28th, 2017, where you're with the source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Woohoo! How you all doing?
The gang is back together, That's right. Yet we're apart.
I know, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's that time of year where we have to be apart.
It's a busy time of year. Announcements are afoot.
Yes, yeah. It's that time of year where Samsung disrupts the Android continuum by releasing a device that everybody already knows everything about.
I got to tell you, there's not a lot of mystery left in the world.
I think we didn't discuss this, but I figured like we're already going to talk about the Galaxy S8 next week because it will be a thing starting tomorrow. So we won't really go into the rumors because why?
And also, Jason, you and I will be talking about it tomorrow.
That's very true. Thank you for probably the more important part of that, which is that, yes, we will be on hand tomorrow morning. That's Wednesday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, something a.m. or p.m., depending on where you are in the world. And I didn't do the math. I'm sorry. But we'll be at twit.tv/live covering the event live. But you'll probably, by the time you listen to the show, you may already know all about the Samsung Galaxy S8 or whatever else they announce tomorrow.
It's going to be exciting no matter what. It's going to be exciting because we do know that the Samsung event can be entertaining. It has the ability, if it's a Broadway show or if it rolls out Zuckerberg, anything can happen in between. So
it's at the Lincoln Center, so anything can happen again.
Oh, really? It is. So are you saying you could be a Broadway show? It could be a...
New York City. New York City.
New York. Sorry. I had a lot of coffee before the show. I apologize.
And I had a lot of tea.
Excellent. Ron, what did you have?
I had some Thai food.
Oh, well, you know what they say about Thai food. I don't know what they say about Thai food. We've got a lot of Android news to talk about because that's what we do here. We're going to be discussing Android O. After the hype, it's like the follow-up show to last week's show where we talked about Android O.
The Hangover.
Exactly. It's the Hangover edition.
And so now a week later, the key points is I'm very curious to find out what Jason thinks of it and then to see if Flo has reversed her position on it because she was not impressed.
I've had no time. Full disclosure, I've had no time to look at Android O.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we just pretend for the sake of the show.
But I will pretend because I am good at pretending.
You know, your thoughts can like mature or can season like a good an opened bottle of wine,
like a fine wine a bottle of kombucha. Absolutely.
Exactly. Your thoughts are like a bottle of kombucha. also, the rebirth of the Galaxy Note 7. We've got a new look, or at least a closer look, at the Galaxy Tab S3. Flo has that, and she's been playing around with that. Andy Rubin's bezel-less phone. We may even see it in photographic evidence form. Play Store's new free app of the week section, and a whole lot more. We've got a lot of news. It's actually a lot of, really, in retrospect, it's a lot of app news that I've just spread out over the entire show. So let's get into it with the news, Brian.
So we may know everything about the Samsung event, but find out what you don't know upcoming in Android News.
Or what you already know about Android O, because that's what we're leading with. You guys already know all about it.
I really, really am looking forward to when it is officially announced that it is Android Oreo, and we can stuff our faces with all the different varieties of Oreos that are available at the supermarket.
Now, do you think they're going to go with Oreo? Is that the latest rumor of it? The trademark name?
So I want to dunk it in milk.
I think it would be a delicious treat. No doubt. I don't think they're going with Oreo.
Really?
I think it's gonna be orange sherbet.
I think it'll be something with orange. I could even see them just going straight up orange.
What about Orange Dream? What if they call it Orange Dream and
Come on. I can't believe we're missing the obvious one. It's gonna be oatmeal cookie.
Mm. Oh.
Could be.
Nobody thinks about oatmeal cookies.
What is the notification icon for an oatmeal cookie? Like a bumpy circle?
I'll be honest with you guys. Yeah. I will gladly put down $2 for an oatmeal raisin cookie any day of the week.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
That makes you guys better people than me because all I do is eat chocolate.
Well, it's not Android C, is it?
Oh, see, that looks delicious.
Yeah. I know. Tell me about it. I'd dump those out on the table when it's announced and eat them throughout the show.
I agree with you. I do want to give us credit last week for talking about Android O for quite a long time and never touching on the name. We didn't even go there at all with Mark last week, and I didn't realize that until just now.
We couldn't. There was too much. I mean, there was so much to go through.
Yeah,
there was.
So maybe
including the autofill. Wow, how is this the lead? I don't know, but it made me excited.
Great segue.
Alphabetical order?
I saw this. 1Password, which is a password manager that you can get on Android. I think that also on iOS or whatever. They put out a blog post or a post on their site. Yeah, I guess it's a blog post where they post some video on how Android O with autofill is going to work for password managers. And I don't know. It just got me all excited. Now, mind you, I was away on vacation. I was in Toronto, so I didn't have international data. So for like a solid week, I hardly got any sort of updates. I actually found out about Android O like a couple of days after it happened. That's how out of touch I was. Oh my God,
that's amazing. So I'm so happy you were completely able to like let go that you didn't even know about Android O.
It was pretty cool. FYI. It was pretty cool, but then at the same time, I kind of felt like a failure based on what we do here.
Did you have FOMO? Did you have FOMO from Android O? Because it is really fun. It's like watching an episode of TV. Like you want to watch it with everybody else and be in the moment. And then when you come back to it a couple days later, it's like, hey, Android O, anybody?
Yeah, I know. And everybody's, we've totally moved on.
Yeah,
autofill, what? Already. You're excited about autofill? No, you guys did great, by the way. I watched your coverage of it, and there was a lot to talk about.
But I'm right there with you that the autofill API alone would be enough to be excited about. That's a major improvement, I think.
Well, because the current implementation of this, which is better than iOS, by the way, I might add, when we did the Twit Switch, that was one of the things that I really missed from Android was the kind of appear over the top of the apps or browser. You know, allow you to just select the service that you're trying to bring in your password for, and it automatically imports it. In iOS, you have to do it manually with copy and paste and switching and all this kind of stuff. So it's a kind of a song and dance. So it's better the way, between the two, the way it is now. This, though, being implemented at the OS level, oh man, that's like a dream come true because there are still weird things that happen with the draw over apps. Aspect the way it is now, so I'm excited for it.
It's going to be Chrome autofill for your Android, which I love Chrome autofill, and maybe I rely on it too much because if I don't have that password in there, I might forget it.
I've come to be dependent on LastPass on my browser, and while I have it on the phone, the integration is so clunky that I actually rarely use it. I don't log into it, and I find myself going from the phone to the desktop to do things that I need to authenticate on. So it'll be it'll be great to have it totally seamless and working without a, you know, without that clunkiness that was there previously. So,
but you still don't log into it because I mean it works okay. It's, no,
no, it's just it's a the draw over the interruption, like it just it hasn't seamlessly fit into my phone usage for whatever reason. So I don't know.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed with the whole drawover thing, and I have to imagine this is part of the reason why they're baking it into the OS, because you know that's an accessibility kind of workaround, right? Yeah. And one thing that they prevent you from doing, this has been a known issue for a while, is that if there is anything that's seen as drawing over the screen at any point, and you're doing something like installing an APK or something along those lines that, let's say an app could surreptitiously draw over your screen, and when you try to install it, or it would basically it kind of changes the actions of the screen from what you think you're doing to a different action. So Android right now is preventing that by not allowing you to do things like hit the install button when you're trying to install an APK if there is an app that is seen to be drawing something over the screen, because you could be doing something entirely different. And so that's just one of the, stumbling blocks, I guess, that hopefully this implementation, I would imagine it has to kind of solve that. And man, I run into that all the time.
Yeah. So what else do you like from Android O? What didn't you like, Jason?
Okay. So love autofill integration, obviously. I'm really big into the idea of notification snooze. Like I use a lot of times, you guys know, I use my notification bar for better or for worse. I use it as a to-do list.
I will be honest with you. Jason's notification bar keeps me up at night.
It does.
I see it.
It's scary. What does it look like right now?
Oh, no. Now it's fine. I actually cleared it in preparation for the show.
Oh,
but it gave
my
me a
God, it's beautiful.
It gave me a little bit of anxiety because I was like, I haven't dealt with those things yet. So being able to snooze those notifications will be fantastic. I kind of wish that there would be a little more customization around how you can snooze them, because I think it's like limited to like 1 minute, 5 minute, 15 minute, or I can't remember.
Versus I'll get back to it in 3 hours when I'm done doing whatever it is that I'm doing right now.
Yeah, well, like in inbox, I can push it to tonight or
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a little bit more flexibility there, and it would be nice for me to be able to choose that. In notifications, because I find
maybe that'll be in the final version.
You're right. This is early, right? This is the very first developer preview, and all this stuff is going to change in some way. Lock screen shortcuts are neat. I sometimes use the camera one, but I mean, I don't know.
I feel like every other version we get something with the lock screen, and they take it away. There's something with the lock screen, they take it away. Like I'm not as enthused about
this. Giving you take.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
It's neat that you can customize it though, because that's at the heart of why people enjoy Android. And great if there are two things that you want immediate access to, bake it in the lock screen. Sure.
Yeah, but what was it? It was Ice Cream Sandwich that gave us like crazy, like you could throw widgets on the lock screen and things like that. And it was just like, it was too much noise on the lock screen. And so,
oh my gosh, those widgets were atrocious.
Ooh. Yeah, remember widgets on the lock screen?
Ooh. I do. We've come a long way, guys.
Background management of apps for better battery. It's always nice, I think, to get some battery improvements in Android.
And I saw Google, by the way, is pushing that really hard on developers by making that like a marquee feature to sort of code.
I mean, it was right at the top of their announcement. That was
exactly.
You could tell they're very serious about that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, and that's another thing that has been really strong on iOS, right? Like Android's feature has always been, well, it's great for multitasking because we let you do all sorts of things at the same time. But that comes at the cost, of course, of performance and battery. And this is kind of like pulling the reins back a little bit more and saying, all right, don't go rogue. And if you try to go rogue,
don't go rogue.
It's true. So anyway, I hope that results in something substantial. Notification channels. I don't know how to feel about notification channels, to be honest. I'm like iffy on that. I want to see it in action to see if it's really that useful to me.
I think it's going to be a big game changer. I think that it's giving you that inbox app level control around those notifications and being able to customize the notifications and group like-minded, imagine not getting an SMS and a WhatsApp and an Allo and all that stuff notification. You're just getting a messaging app notification. That's pretty cool.
Yes. It's so overwhelming to see more than one icon in the notification shade, to be honest. Just like the psychological sensation of I have too many notifications to parse through is a little overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, you know, I could probably use a little bit of cleaning up in my notification shade. Grouping might actually help me overcome my my affliction.
But I don't want to notification shade you.
Yes. Ooh, that's some serious notification shade there, Flo.
Notification shade. I like it. Well, throw in the notification shade. I don't want to jump ahead to your notes, but what is your comment here in the document about notification channels? I have a response to. Mm-hmm. So.
I think that was my.
You don't want to reconfigure.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah. That is one of my fears. Is it baked into the OS to the point to where when I set up new devices, maybe this only matters to people who set up multiple devices, probably. But like, I don't live on my single device for super long periods of time. So if every device I get, I have to reset up those channels. That'll probably be a feature that I don't use very much unless it gets synced with my account. You know.
Right. And I would say I gotta imagine it's going to be tied to your account. I gotta imagine that when you set up a device, that's one of the settings that just appears because you've already set it up. If it's device level, then you're right. That's a huge miss. But I gotta imagine it's going to be tied to your personality. So
yeah, I hope so. Yeah. The new I think it's called the A Audio API, which is kind of like the professional audio, the pro audio.
I thought of you when I saw that.
Yeah, I know.
I thought of you as well.
That's always close to my heart. I mean, N had improvements. It seems to have led to very little. Like, you haven't really seen a whole lot, you know, like a sudden big, you know, movement.
It wasn't advertised anyway. So how are you supposed to let audio peeps know about that sort of thing if you're not advertising it the way Apple does?
Right.
Look at us. You can compose a beautiful musical just using the piano keys on an iPad. Like, that's the kind of marketing you need.
I mean, maybe that ship has sailed and it's just iOS, you know, has been there so long that anyone that's developing these types of apps is just so, like, it's just ingrained that that's the platform that you do that on. But I'm happy to see Google still working on it. Hopefully it gets supported. You know, if they're doing a new API, hopefully it gets supported by developers. Maybe
it's just for you. They know that. Jason Howell.
Hiroshi.
He's gonna use the stuff.
Got my back, bro.
Did you call him Broshi?
Broshi. Oh, no, I didn't, but I will next time I meet him. Hey, Broshi. No, you know what? I'm never going to call him Broshi. That would be so insulting.
No. That's what I thought I heard.
No, but I really like it. I, as much as I hate it, I like it. Hi-Fi Bluetooth audio is great. Better stream quality from your device to Bluetooth, you know, endpoints or whatever. And hey, how can you not like that? I don't know. Overall, I'm having a hard time figuring out how I feel about Android O in total, as far as like, all right, the next version, is this enough? I don't know if I'm super jazzed about it as I have been in other versions.
We hit the bullet points here, and we didn't even cover everything, and we're not going to rehash last week. But I felt as if there was a significant enough in this, and it felt more than Android N at the same point in time. And so I think this is a pretty big update. We're not getting a huge visual language change. You know, they're not rolling out the next version of Material Design or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of the stuff that they're doing on a fundamental, you know, refining point of view, whether it's the notification grouping or the snoozing notifications or the batteries stuff or the audio and Bluetooth improvements, all these APIs that they're enabling, like, it just feels like the OS is getting tighter and smarter with this release. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
And Ron, that is where I sort of like came back around in the last week, is because remember last week I was saying, it doesn't feel that significant, but you're right. There's a lot of stuff under the hood. And just the way that it's being presented to developers is like, there's a lot of stuff coming in Android O. Please study up on it. Put it in your apps. Let's make this a success together.
Let's do this together. Let's peel that orange together.
Well, I was going to say, before we move on, let's do our official kind of predictions. So Flo says Oreo. Jason says orange.
I say orange.
And I'm going to go with oatmeal raisin.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I feel like we need to write this down somewhere.
We'll remember.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we are the ones that chose our own. So everyone, we are tasked with remembering the thing that we said, okay? I'll remember my thing if you remember yours. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, Flo, you got the next one.
Yes. Well, guys, we've been talking a lot about messaging and Google's messaging strategy, and the news that we have coming out is not at all that revelatory, but I think it does sort of point us on the path that Google's attempting to go down. So first, in the long spectrum of things that we have to talk about with regards to messaging, Google messaging is, Google Hangouts is changing. You're not going to be able to have your SMS tucked in nicely with your instant messages anymore. Google is expiring this on May 22nd. So you've got a little bit of time to sort of get those long lost people you haven't talked to in a while in a Hangouts on board and let them know, hey, I'm not going to be texting you from that app anymore. Actually, they don't even know you're texting.
They don't even know.
I was going to say, do they even know?
You should find another texting app in the time being. And I recommend the Google Messages app or Text or others. Plenty out there.
I was just going to say, I recommend Textra. This is such a non-issue for me because I never used Hangouts for SMS. So this is just, whatever.
Well, I wonder.
Until I became very enraged at how slow the interface was on Hangouts, and then I never again.
I wonder if Textra will support our... Oh, yeah, they will. Okay. You're all good. Yeah. My thought was that Android Google Messages. God, I never even know what to call their messaging apps anymore.
Google Messaging changes all the time too.
Yeah, all over the map. Every year, it's a new name. Would be the only app that would support RCS, but it looks like Textra said it back in November that they will also support RCS messaging coming sometime this year. So yeah, that's a great alternative. There you go.
Yeah. Texture's great. I love Textra.
I'm still doing all of my SMS through Hangouts out of pure habit, and I don't want to have to change. And at this point I have to, so I will.
Gotta change.
I will.
How do you live with yourself every day? Oh my goodness.
I just
the clutter. Anyway, Duo's also getting a couple of updates. Now the low latency audio features are coming, so you can just have phone call over Duo without sort of straining your network, if you will, as Duo's meant to do. It's also going to be integrated into the Truecaller API, into Truecaller, though there is no API that's been announced for other third-party developers. So it sounds like Duo's only coming to this particular app for right now. So they're hoping...
Kind of interesting, integrating Duo into an app, no third-party API, but we'll
I think do this is just
calling.
A test. I think this is a test right now to see what it can do. I think that's why there's no sort of third-party availability for it, which makes sense. And these are just kind of quiet little features that are being introduced because I mean, I'm not going to use Duo's audio call feature, but it's good to have and it'll kind of position it towards other markets. But there's more on the messaging front, and I'm actually very curious about there's no more on the messaging front. That's it.
It's okay. I think the more, I know why you're confused because I had an extra story in there and I didn't do any looking into it. I think the story, which actually was written by Jerry Hildenbrand at Android Central, is just basically a story. Yeah, talking about the continuing kind of saga of Android and Google and messaging and the fact that, Google Talk is now dead. Hangouts, of course, has evolved into the new Slack. Google Voice is kind of integrated into Hangouts, but it's not. Project Fi is dependent on Hangouts, so who knows what happens to them. Allo's kind of in a weird place. And just the fact that, man, it just doesn't get any easier. Like, I'm a Google Voice user still, and I think that my calls are routed through the Hangouts app, still for some reason. But yet I'm phasing away from Hangouts because it's enterprise. It's confusing for me. So I don't know how anybody else deals with it. And I talk about this stuff every day.
I just don't. That's the thing. Is that I've moved on. I've moved on. The thing is, Google is the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing in terms of messaging. It's a nautical level knot that no one can untie and fix. And so I've just moved on. I do as much as I can on WhatsApp and whatever, and I just stick to SMS. And you don't want to get me ranting about messaging again, but you know, this is, they screwed it up. And it's not just Google alone, it's everybody. They all screwed it up. So
yeah.
You know, and it's a bummer that they can't fix it in a streamlined way. And I'm hoping that RCS is the solution to kind of unify and then reset, and that these are just moving chess pieces around until RCS gets there. The Hangouts, you know, the enterprise Hangouts Slack competitor, that's just really sad. That was just, I mean, I think that's the funniest out of all of these, is that, like, you know, meanwhile, Slack comes along and gets it right. For the most part, Slack's not a perfect product. I have some critical comments about Slack, but I do love Slack because it's so much fun to use and it's great to use. But, you know, so what does Google do? They just replicate that. And I'm not surprised, but seeing everybody's vitriol against it was pretty funny. So.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be doing that in the messaging space, though. I mean, didn't Facebook do the whole, hey, Snapchat features thing today? Yep. It's just, I'm feeling very... this is a little bit, I don't mean to digress too much, but this is kind of what I've been dealing with regards to Snapchat versus Instagram stories. I just don't know how to communicate with people or what feels the most natural. And as far as Android goes right now, I'm kind of confused there too. You know, I'm using Allo and I'm using Hangouts and I'm using a different text messaging app. And I can't have my home screen without those icons just perfectly laid out for me to use instantaneously, yeah. Because I use too many different things to communicate with people.
And you have to organize that in your brain.
Yeah, and we're just talking about Google here in context to Android. We're not even talking about Facebook. Like you mentioned, you know, Facebook now rolling out Facebook stories. And I just logged into Facebook.
And it
gave me a pop-up window of one of my posts because someone commented on it, like a Facebook Messenger chat window. And I just went, oh, God, no, don't do that. You know, it's just messaging across the board is so fragmented and screwed up. It's taking something that we already loathe to do, and that's talking to other people and making it that much harder. So,
yeah. And I don't see an easy solution in sight.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's been following this show for years knows this has been a topic on the show, recurring topic on the show for years. And it
it's been a recurring topic, I think, where we're like on week 5?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Just,
that's true.
So, all right, let's do an email. It's always great to hear from Marlon, Marlon, the guy from Trinidad, who writes in and says he's got a news item. This news item is for Ron, and he congratulated me on running a 10K last weekend. And thank you, Marlon. My legs aren't quite back yet, but they'll get there. So Marlon says, Ron has spoken out passionately about the need to curb the exclusivity model when it comes to mobile apps, and it seems to Nintendo has run into this problem with their Super Mario game, where it did not meet expectations. While the $9.99 price tag to unlock the full game is pricey and could have impacted sales, I actually think there's enough content in the game to justify a price like that, if not at least $5. I think that the exclusivity hurt them more, as the conversion of free to pay was about 5%. If they had the Android numbers in there with a similar or slightly smaller conversion rate, there may have been in a better position. What do you think? And yes, Flo, I know your thoughts, as all you're doing is touching the screen to make them jump, but some of the levels were well crafted. And he passed along an article. He passed along an article from Polygon, which talks about Super Mario Run's disappointing sales and the conversion rate at the $9.99 price tag, and Nintendo saying it didn't meet expectations. And yeah, Marlon, I absolutely agree with you. If they had folded in Android sales at the same time as it dropped on iOS, who knows what their conversion numbers would have been. It could have been the same. The rate could have been the same when you look at that big of a universe, or it could have increased because Android users would have converted as well. But what that article doesn't take into account is the large check that Apple wrote to Nintendo for that exclusivity. And that's the only reason why it happened. So I don't know if that didn't meet expectations, but I'm pretty sure that met expectations.
You're the best.
Meanwhile, I downloaded Super Mario Run the day it came out. I played it. I'm like, oh, wow, this is a lot of fun. And within an hour, the Robin backed it up already. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess the Robin decided I don't need to play that game.
Wait, but you were just playing it. How does that work?
Because my phone is so big and the app was so big. I didn't pin it. I didn't say don't back it up. So immediately just was like, this is taking up too much space, and uploaded it.
I don't care you were playing this an hour ago. Don't play it anymore.
I like the idea of the Robin saying, no, 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 Ron. You don't need this.
You,
but I was thought I was talking to somebody at work who's played it on iOS since December, and he says that, yeah, some of the levels are really well designed and actually a lot of fun. I was actually, you know, we're not talking about Super Mario Run in this episode, but it did come out last Thursday. Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised because I thought Mario would run faster. But I was like, oh, he's just kind of sauntering. I thought it'd be more like Sonic the Hedgehog, kind of more fast paced, but it's more about the jumping and the angles and going up and around.
He's a short plumber dude. He's not a little hedgehog that weighs only like 5 pounds.
Good point.
Fair.
Yeah. I think there's definite value to the level design. Nintendo's really good at that sort of thing. They also have their IP that is highly sought after, you know, has a very large built-in fan base of people waiting for this kind of move to mobile. It was $10 too much. I don't know. It's hard for me to say exactly whether $10 was too much for this particular game. I would pay $10 for it, but part of that comes from just like this retro bone in my body, you know, that's just happy to see it on my phone. And maybe if you don't have that, maybe it's not, you know.
I would pay more for a full version of Pokemon on my phone.
Well, shocking. You'd pay more just to have Pokemon sitting on your desktop, on your wallpaper, just kind of waving at you every now and then because you love Pokemon. That's brand affinity.
What's the problem with that? No, there's no judgment.
No, I mean, right. I would do the exact same thing. If I'm trying to think of a brand, a video game brand that I love or that I would, but I, you know, like if they finally, you know, ported in television to Android and it worked in a good enough manner, better than the emulators, I would gladly pay $10 for that because I have a brand affinity to that, you know. Right. So,
yep.
Makes sense.
Yep. Agreed. Let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Square. You know Square. You've used Square. You've paid with Square. Square started with a radical idea. The more they could help businesses succeed and grow, the more they would succeed and grow. So they set out to make tools that would help every business. Square lets you take payments anywhere, any way customers want to pay you. So you never miss a sale. And as you know, that's the most important part. You always want that sale. So here's the tool to make that happen. Square's hardware and software is reliable. It's easy to use, powerful, and affordable. And it's proven because you've seen it in so many places. I see this Square everywhere. The free MagStripe reader plugs into the headset jack on your smartphone or tablet. So you can swipe cards the old-fashioned way if you want. You can also accept chip cards and NFC payments with the new Square Reader. That's $49. It's compatible with your iOS or Android devices. It connects by Bluetooth LE, so you don't even have to worry about not having a headset jack. It's going to connect wirelessly. You can slip your iPad into Square Stand to complete your point of sale. Nice big POS screen for people to sign and use. Sign up in minutes and accept every major credit card for one simple rate. 2.75% per swipe, dip, or tap. 3.5% plus 15 cents per keyed-in transactions. And Square will actually create custom pricing packages for businesses with annual revenues over $250,000 and an average ticket size over $15. There are no hidden fees, no penalties, no commitments. You only pay for what you use. And Square deposits your money within 1 to 2 business days. If needed, on-demand deposits cost just 1% of the total deposit amount. And Square has your back with up to $250 a month in free chargeback protection. That's pretty sweet when you're taking those payments. It's good to have that protection there. Check your sales on the Square dashboard using your PC or iOS app. The Square dashboard actually allows you to see historical as well as real-time sales data. You can also do things like track your inventory, send marketing campaigns, create loyalty programs, and a whole lot more. Connect Square with your favorite apps and services, you know, apps that you're already using, QuickBooks, Weebly, BigCommerce, or you can use their APIs. You can build your own solution and bake it right in. Square provides top-level security and great customer support, all free of charge. And you have no reason to not check it out. Square is everywhere. That's because it works. See how Square works for your business. If you sign up now, you'll get free processing on your first $500 in sales. All you have to do is go to square.com/android. That's square.com/android. Some terms apply. So make sure and go there and check it out. Square.com/Android. And we thank Square for their support. It's really great having Square on board for All About Android. All right, it's time to get into some hardware.
Alrighty, so last week we talked about how Andy Rubin's new company Essential ran into some funding problems as SoftBank pulled out their $100 million investment. And then this week I got very excited to see Andy Rubin on Twitter start to tease the new project with a little Twitter post. And actually, we have Andy here to tell us what his tweet actually said. Andy says, I'm really excited about how this is shaping up, eager to get it into more people's hands.
What are you talking about, Andy?
And then
the hands of Jason Howell, Florence Ion, and Ron Richards.
Oh,
possibly. Is that what you mean, Andy? Please tell us. Is Timmy in trouble? Should we go to the well?
We'd love to make you a friend of the show, Andy. That's what we're saying.
Exactly. And listen, I got to say that the Twitter shot that you posted, Andy, of the phone was just enough to pique our interest. You can see the time on the phone. Like if we can zoom in there. Also, Andy's wearing a great pair of jeans, clearly. It looks like he's got a very dynamic wallpaper there, reds and, you know, kind of electricity. But also, that sure looks like a bezel-less phone.
I mean, there's little bezel
there.
Very
little bezel. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a thin line.
Little bezel.
That bezel is hardly thicker than one of the lines in the M in PM. No, it's, you know what? That bezel is as thick as the M in PM in the clock.
Exactly. It's not a very thick bezel. And this just backs up that back in January, Bloomberg ran a report saying that Essential is working on several hardware products, including a high-end bezel-less smartphone. And then some of the other speculation about this is possibly will include a variation of 3D touch, as well as a proprietary connector for hardware accessories, including a 360-degree spherical camera. And I really got to wonder about the timing of this, because all the rumors around Essential has the phone coming out or being announced this summer. Mm-hmm. And with this very public pulling of $100 million investment by SoftBank last week, it's kind of odd that now Andy shows that the phone exists. Like this seems to be more of a fundraising stunt than awareness stunt, in my point of view.
You could be right, actually. The timing is very peculiar.
The timing is very curious, right?
He's like, let me put on my photo-worthy jeans and give me the phone. Just give me the phone. I'm going to hold it next to my jeans. You take a picture.
Because listen,
those are probably very expensive jeans.
Probably.
Right. And $100 million buys a lot of expensive jeans. And Andy's got his eye on the prize, people. Let me do bezel-less phones, designer jeans. Those are the mission statement of Essential is we want to bring compelling bezel-less hardware to you in a designer jean package.
When I decided that I was going to step away from Google and Alphabet, I had one goal in mind: to designer boost my jeans. Budget for designer jeans.
So anyway, I don't know if you guys saw my response on Twitter to that, but my response is the future is bezel-less. So I'm very excited to see this. So.
You've been saying that for a while now. And, you know, it's funny because when you tweeted that, I have not been paying attention to the internet for the last week. But when you were tweeting that, it made me think, there's a lot of that going on.
The future is bezel-less.
LTE6. Bezel-less and the trends that we're seeing coming out. So that's the years on trend, as they say.
But has it really, so far, has it really lived up to this great expectation of bezel-less devices? Like, have we really seen any of it? I mean, other than the Mi Mix or Mi Max, was it?
Yeah, that's the closest.
That's the one that I saw that I went, whoa. But I haven't really seen any others like that.
It'll be interesting to see how it pans out over here because we're dealing with screen sizes that are different, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know.
Different's good.
We'll see how people adjust to taller phones.
Yeah.
Essentially. So.
I'm excited to see what Andy is working on and to see what kind of jeans he's wearing when he announces it.
That's our new segment is what jeans is Andy wearing? Okay.
What would Andy wear?
What would Andy wear?
Yeah.
There it is.
We need a segment bumper for that. All right, Flo, you've got the next thing.
Well, the next thing is not as fun over webcam, and I'm sorry I can't be there to show this in person, but it will be making its appearance in the studio. It's It's the Galaxy Tab S3, which is very, very, very mirrory. It's very mirrory.
Hey, Flo, let me ask you about that. How big is the bezel?
Does it have a bezel? If it does, then I'm not interested.
There we go. There's the bezel.
Okay.
That's the bezel size. And
that's a pretty big bezel.
I liken this to a flattened out Galaxy S8 is what it reminds me of. Down to the curved corners, home screen or home button on the bottom, which is also a fingerprint scanner, of course. We have the camera on the back. This guy, I believe, is an 8-megapixel. You don't need more for your tablet, people. You shouldn't be taking this thing to concerts. But of course, its main selling point of the Tab S3 is this nifty little stylus that I have here in my hand called the S Pen. And now this S Pen looks a little different than the S Pen that you saw with the Note 7 and maybe previous iterations of other stylus-capable Samsung devices. This one's actually pen-like. It's a little flat. It's not as round. Well, actually, the last couple of S Pens, they were a little flat too, so that they wouldn't roll around, which was a conscious design choice. But this one is flat too, so it doesn't roll around. You're going to need a little pencil case for it, though, because there's a magnet on the back, which I think is, it's like the speaker or something, and that's why it's...
Does that help it dock into the keyboard, maybe?
Or like a case, for the case to close onto or something?
There is the keyboard case, which I have. It's $130 extra, by the way. So this tablet is $600 starting for 64 GB Snapdragon 820, 4 GB of RAM, 6,000 mAh battery pack, quad HD display, no water resistance. But this is a premium tablet. This is not the kind of thing you want to... I mean, they want you to work with this. They don't want you to take it to the pool with, you know.
I was literally just going to say, is this the tablet I could take to the pool? But I hear that the answer is no. That's a clear no on that. Okay.
I've always wanted to go deep sea diving with a tablet. This is not the tablet for me.
But here it is on its little keyboard case. And so the way it works on the keyboard case is on the side, it's got these magnets. How do they work? I'm sorry, I can't show this in more high def. And then it connects with little itty bitty little connectors there, pogo pins. It connects and that lets the Galaxy Tab S3 know that you've got a keyboard connected, so you don't have to use Bluetooth, which is great because the other thing I need in my life is more Bluetooth complications. I mean, God, Bluetooth is both the bane and the wonder of my existence. but anyway, fingerprint scanner is pretty fast. The typing on this is actually pretty fast. I actually wrote the review for the Tab S3 on this, but I didn't upload it.
I was going to say, is that like a gimmick review? Is that like this review was written on the device I'm reviewing? Like, or is that...
No, I genuinely want to see how long I can go for typing sessions when a company is selling me this product that's supposed to come with this optional keyboard. You're supposed to, you know, carry it around like this with you everywhere you go. Woohoo, look at me and my tablet. Keyboard is very comfortable and I really liked it. But the multitasking part is Android OS's folly. And until that sort of thing gets fixed, and especially now because I have a Chromebook to compare it to, it's not the same. But there is a thing you can do with the Tab S3 that the Chromebook can't. And mind you, this is only $100 more than the Chromebook, except not... that is if you don't buy the keyboard. But it's this nifty little feature, which I'm trying to make work right now, which is the ability to write on the screen without the screen actually being on.
Oh, yeah. They had that on the Note 7.
On the Note 7. Actually, they had that on the Note 5, to be fair. It's not new. But I like it because, you know, you can write quick little notes without...
not Denny's boat.
without any issue.
Well done. Well-timed joke from 10 years ago.
Those are the best kinds of jokes.
I appreciate it. Absolutely.
I've actually used that joke 3 times since I've had this tablet. So I just want you to know I'm...
You're recycling your jokes.
I'm recycling a lot of jokes. Yeah, so there's a little magnet like this. So it just kind of hangs. So that way S Pen isn't rolling around. But I don't know if that's intentional. That's just because the way the components have been.
That's what I'm wondering is if that has to do with setting it up to stick to the keyboard mount. I mean, is that more about setting it up to stick to the keyboard mount? Because I know, like with the Pixel C, for example, the way it fastens into the keyboard dock is a strong magnet on the back. So I imagine if you have an S Pen, it would also snap the S Pen there. But
it doesn't even turn off the screen, by the way. And I don't know if this is an option I'm supposed to do, but I actually killed the Tab S3 the other day, not realizing I had left it on Pokemon, not realizing that was just eating the battery and it was dead when I came back to it. So there's a couple little nuances, but otherwise, it's really nice to see like an iPad Pro level tablet in the Android world because we haven't had that. Mm-hmm. And this S Pen is just so awesome. I dropped it on the floor. I would go get it, but it's down there. It's just so awesome. I like
high dynamic range display, right?
That's right. HDR display. And I think the reason I didn't think about that to mention it first is because there's not a lot of HDR content. Right. There's a couple of things on Netflix now, but I don't really care.
Yet.
It's not really something that I would benefit from as a consumer, because when I use the tablet, it's in the bathroom when I'm doing my makeup, I'm watching TV. So I'm not really paying attention. I don't know.
You're not analyzing the pixels for its dynamic range.
Yeah. And this has other funny little features that are actually nice, which is the adjustable speakers. So what they will do is they will figure out whether you're in portrait or landscape mode, and it will adjust the speakers in the direction that the sound is coming out for that. And I can hear it even when I'm playing Pokemon, just where the sound effects come from. It's directional so that it's always facing you. You're always getting like the surround sound experience of this size on either end of this. Which is cute.
Yeah, that's nice.
Cute.
Might as well.
That's cool. Nice. So for $600, not including the keyboard, which would make it like $730 before taxes.
It's a pricey tablet.
It's a bummer. Yeah. Just a little pricey. And I'm just thinking about the fact that I only paid around $500 for the Chromebook Flip. And granted, it doesn't have a stylus, but I can do I don't know. Still trying to figure out if we can really live this tablet-only life. I'm on that quest.
I don't think I can. But I like the look of that tablet. That's pricey. But if you're getting that, I mean, largely you're getting it because of the stylus functionality, I have to imagine.
Yes, which I'm going to pick up right now. Whoop, I'm back.
There's their tagline, the Galaxy Tab S3, pricey, but good. So there you go. There's Samsung marketing for you.
Excellent. Well, Samsung needs some help with their marketing.
They sure do.
They just need
so
some help
much help. Because tomorrow is going to be a big day.
Tomorrow is the big day. We're going to hear about the S8, and it'll be very interesting to hear how they maneuver the tricky waters of presenting a new device while being covered by the shadow of the Note 7 that happened last year. Maybe that's
the shadow of the Note 7.
The very large shadow that's being cast from
really
the Note 7.
We're really missing an opportunity to act out telenovelas with Android drama. There's so much drama in the Android device world.
It is very dramatic. It is very dramatic.
Maybe the event tomorrow, they'll have a live, like a play, an onstage play reenactment of like where Samsung came from the Note 7 release, and it started exploding in people's hands. They'll reenact all that. Now they probably won't do that.
Sadly, Jason, if they do any sort of dramatic retelling, it's going to be how their QA system works now.
Yes, right.
Because that's what we've already seen in the commercials. I saw on TV Samsung touting their QA on television, and I'm just like, oh God, this is a mess. So
check it out. Okay.
So what are they doing with these leftover Note 7s?
I think this is the right thing to do. I always thought, like, if they're getting the Note 7s back, as they have, you know, pretty much almost all of the Note 7s back, they, you know, requested and then demanded, more or less, to get them back. it made a lot of sense for them to figure out how to do something with these devices instead of just throw it in a landfill or disassemble it or whatever. So it never made sense to me that they would get all this stock back and not at some point like try and do something with it. And apparently, Samsung says it's going to reissue some. Thank you for the trademark transition.
I love you, Brian.
Of flames for any Samsung Note 7 story. They're going to reissue some of the Note 7 stock in select markets. Apparently, the U.S. is not one of those markets, but they're going to do so, making them refurbished devices, refurbished phones, or for the rental. Or did I see rental market in there? Anyways, they're doing it all environmentally friendly. They say so. They're environmental considerations, using salvageable components extracted using environmentally friendly methods, they're basically going to re-release these devices. Might get a new name upon launch. Might be a good idea. I don't know.
They're doing it in other countries because maybe they won't be as shocked as we would be with all of what's been going on.
That's my guess. Like, they don't really say that. From what I read, Samsung didn't say that, but that's kind of the, that's
hey,
kind of
you guys who haven't been complaining.
You
putting phones, and you guys keep saying you want it. We'll bring it to you.
But I mean, you know what? There are a lot of people that I imagine wouldn't care. Like, yes, it was a historic market, brand failure to have one of your premium devices go through what the Note 7 went through and have to recall it and everything. But the device was still very good, and a lot of people felt that way. If the issue was an oversized battery, great. Yeah. Throw a smaller battery in there. Make sure that you do it right. And I'm convinced there are a lot of people that would buy that for a reduced price. And so why not?
I'd buy it because I buy refurbished things all the time. And I buy used cars. And I'd buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I would. But you can't sell that very easily in the United States. Not after every airline is like, this phone is banned. And every time you fly Southwest, that's all you hear. And a lot of people fly Southwest. So,
but eventually, I feel bad for all those people flying Southwest. But that eventually it's going to happen. So someone is going to buy this and then try to get on a plane and there's going to be a problem and all this sort of stuff. So,
well, you can't wear leggings on planes. You can't bring a Note 7 on a plane. What can you do on a plane?
Seriously.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. So
anyway, I think that's the right way to do it. I'm sure there are markets where this would
really
work.
I wonder if we could buy one.
I think it's our duty to buy one.
I feel like it is. Down. Especially because it was so pretty.
Yeah.
Like, nice. I'm truly afraid that I'm uncertain if I really liked the Note 7. It's hard to think of anything else that, how when you have that, that love in your life when you're young and really made an impression on you, you really fell hard for them. And it's just like nobody else compares to that person, and it takes such a long time to move on. That's how I feel about the Note 7. I feel like it's going to take a really long time for me to move on and truly accept any other Samsung device in my heart. And I mean this with all sincerity, by the way, because the Note 7 was so good.
It was very good.
You're really pouring it out here right now.
It was. I have a lot of feelings about this.
I can tell.
All right. Let's move on.
Thank you guys for letting me work it out here today on All That Android.
I'm happy we could be some help. Let's move on to hardware.
All right. So in case you were worried that wearables were dying, they're not. Fossil is carrying the torch for Android Wear as we've got a couple of new models, a couple of new fashion watches to show off. The Fossil Q Venture and Q Explorist both have the Snapdragon Wear 2100 with 4 GB of memory, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, round displays. The Q Venture is designed for women with stainless steel case options, including including a bling encrusted version. A digital crown, no shortcut buttons, and it's thin and sleek.
I mean, look at the bling on that thing on the right.
Look at the flip bling. The Q Explorist is bulkier and rugged with a digital crown and 2 shortcut buttons. They both sell for around $255 to $275. And also the Hugo Boss Touch, the first Android Wear device for the from this watchmaker, is carbon black, IP stainless steel, NFC, no heart rate monitor, so it's less bulky for a fashion watch. And that's available in August for $395. And I think it's fascinating that these watchmakers are the ones that are pushing wearables as opposed to the phone makers, which is probably how it's supposed to be, and shows that wearables will find a nice, like a smartwatch will be an option you can go when you go to the watch section in Bloomingdale's, you know?
So. Agreed.
Yeah. Good to have some stylish options. Obviously very good for Google, right? They basically, in doing this, have found a new avenue. And actually, there's a lot of money that, or well, there's potentially a lot of money that can come in from these fashion brands.
Do you feel brand recognition?
Yeah,
too,
brand recognition. Absolutely.
I have Google on my watch. I got Google on my phone. I'm in the Google zone. You know, that sort of thing.
Any of these appeal to the fashionista in you, Flo?
Yeah, I like the blingy one. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But why is, did they say the blingy one has NFC? Because
I didn't see that, actually.
It didn't say, no, yeah, just the Hugo Boss one has NFC, but they didn't mention whether the Qs have it or not.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okie dokie. Well, there you go. A few more wearables that you may or may not probably won't get. This, we need to thank a sponsor of today's episode. So let's do that right now. This episode is brought to you by Bitbucket. And it's time to get real. It's time to be honest. Your code is your world. You create it. You tweak it. You lovingly obsess over it every day. It's what you do. So picking the right repository management tool is super important. Only the best, you know, for your code, right? You spend all this time on it. You want to treat it. You want to treat it the very best. You want to make sure it knows that you care. That's why the team at Atlassian created Bitbucket. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. It helps over 5 million developers build with purpose. Bitbucket gives teams of all sizes free private repositories with state-of-the-art features, super useful, the world's best pull request algorithm. Pull requests facilitate code reviews. You can collaborate right in the code with inline comments. It's all threaded, with threaded conversations, threaded mentions. Built-in continuous delivery. There's branch permissions. That's going to help you prevent errors. You can control the actions that the users can perform and all that. You can get granular permissions at the project, repository, or branch level. And, you know, it's all about integrations, right? Integrations with your favorite tools like Docker, AWS, and Azure. And because Bitbucket comes from Atlassian, it offers the best Jira integration available. It's just baked right in there, giving your team everything that you need to take your code from concept to customer. And I mean, there's just so many teams, right, that are using Bitbucket. More than 900,000 teams love Bitbucket. It's used by companies like Ford, PayPal, Starbucks, and Pandora, and it's the only collaborative Git solution that scales massively. So that's what you need to get it out there. Bitbucket is for the code that takes us to Mars, decodes the human genome, or drives your next car. Visit bitbucket.org/for the code. And if you go to bitbucket.org/for the code, you can start your free account and check it all out for yourself. That's bitbucket.org/for the code. Try Bitbucket today and you'll see what your code can do. Pretty awesome stuff. And we thank Bitbucket for their, and Atlassian for their support of All About Android. It's great to have you on board. All right, we've got some more app news. Let's check it out.
Okay, now, everybody, we're here into app news, and we're talking about free app of the week. You like free stuff, right?
Yeah, I like
free stuff. Check out Google Play's free app of the week. This week, it's Card Wars from Adventure Time. What? Normally $3.
What is this voice?
When
is Flo decided? Like the 90s, like the 90s coffee house, like, yeah, like beatnik dude, you know?
You like free apps?
Wait, hang on. Let's back up. 90s coffee house beatnik dude?
Yeah, remember that guy in the first season of Party of Five who like gets Neve Campbell to like start writing songs? I was channeling him.
Okay, he was channeling 1950s beatnik. So anyway, go ahead, carry on.
That's how it works, Rob.
Yeah.
Can't say and try. But in all seriousness, Google is doing free apps in the Play Store, which is awesome. And I love it when Google does stuff like this. I recently got back on the survey train, for instance, for the free money for Google Play apps and stuff. This promotion will run Thursday to Thursday. So every Thursday, basically check out, see what else Google's going to offer for free. Google will work in the background with the developers to let them know they're putting their app on sale. So nobody is getting, no one's getting stiffed here. It's all in good fun. Free stuff. It's always good. Only in the US, of course, which is, I'm sorry, a bummer for everyone else.
That's just what Google does. Yeah, unfortunately.
It's nice to see them doing something free. This is very Amazon-y, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah. Cool. I forgot.
Do you remember? I remember early days. I mean, and they've been doing this with Amazon Underground, so it's not like they don't do this anymore. But I remember when that first happened.
I could move the needle. That was big.
In the early days of All About Android, even. Like, you had to be every day. It was part of my routine every day to check Amazon to see what app I wasn't paying for because it was free that day.
Yep.
And I got it whether it was good or bad. I just downloaded it. I was like, well, I can add it to my catalog and then I'll always have it.
That's what I mean. I'd rather have Google curate the free stuff for me than a third party. No offense to Amazon, but,
Well, and
one app store to rule them all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if Card Wars Adventure Time is a great game, but hey.
It is like Pokemon, the card game online, in that there is a physical card game. So you can learn how to play. It's a very entrenched world. And I think it's great that they're, especially because Adventure Time has just had its last season.
Aw. It's a beloved franchise.
It's an absolutely beloved franchise for adults too.
Yep. So this news is a little bit old, but I decided to bring it back because I checked last week's show and it didn't make it. And of course, I'm assuming I would be the one, obviously, to bring this on because this is actually totally applicable to me.
Yeah, you are on the family beat. Yes. So yeah, the two childless hosts did not pick up the family theme story.
Whatever.
Apologies. Carry on.
New Google app called Family Link was announced a little around or like a week and a half ago. It allows parents to set up Google accounts for their under 13-year-old kids and control those accounts. So I've been doing this on my device for, our two Nexus 9 tablets at home, one for each of my children who are definitely under 13. But I had to do this, like device management with an app called Dinner Time, which I'm still using. I have to transfer over to Family Link, and I will do that one of these days. Nougat only for now, except for a small list of Marshmallow devices. You can approve and deny app installs on these devices that you set up with Family Link for your kids. Monitor device usage, so keep an eye on what apps they're using, how long they're using it. That's
why
sort of stuff.
Were you on Snapchat for 3 hours?
I'm just saying, I would want to know that. Maybe. Depending on how old they are,
that's a long time to be on Snapchat. By the way, I think there's an intervention even for adults on Snapchat for 3 hours.
I'm really glad this didn't exist when I was a kid because I used to get in big trouble for just being on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the level of control has shot up. It's very easy to monitor.
And it was a lot easier to lie to my parents back then, which they knew I was lying. So none of this is revelatory right now because I know they're going to watch this later.
Do they watch every episode you do?
Yes.
Wow. Hi to those parents.
Very supportive.
Nice to see you again.
I don't even think my parents know I do this show.
I know. They just know that I work for an internet company and I do video online. That's basically what my parents follow.
Well, Mom, Dad, I hid the internet from you for a very long time, but you knew that.
There you go. Awkward. You can limit screen on or device usage time, set bedtime restrictions so you can say between 9 and 6 a.m. That tablet will not work.
As opposed to unplugging the internet.
Which you could also do if you have a Google Wi-Fi. You could,
that's also true, actually. That's a good point.
Yeah, Google Wi-Fi has a lot of controls in it as well. This does not make Google's own apps kids safe. I'm still trying to figure out why it's okay now that Google is allowing you to sign up for an under 13-year-old account for Gmail when they didn't allow it before because of COPPA rules. Why now? Is it because parents
specifically? Because this is
in place? Yeah.
Because
gives you a choice.
Maybe. I mean, part of the process as a parent is that you have to give your credit card and they put like a 40-cent charge on your credit card that acts as authorization to say you are the parent and you authorize. It's like a transactional approval sort of thing to kind of prove that you can actually say yes. So I don't know. Maybe that changes the scenario a little bit. But in the process, you're setting up a new Gmail account through FamilyLink for your under 13 kid. I have Gmail accounts set up for my kids already because I thought, well, I'll just reserve them. And then when they're old enough, you know, they have one that's in their name. You can't transfer them over. So I would have
that's
to start
so nice.
Over.
It's like a savings bond, except
kind of. Kind of. And then you send emails to it. And then when they get access to it, it's like, here's years worth of emails. Kind of cool. I would like to get that when if I were a kid. Anyway, so it doesn't block ads for the apps. There's no, like I said, there's no way to fold in your already made accounts into FamilyLink. And it's invite.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's actually kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I'm hoping maybe eventually that would be removed, but in order for me to do this, I have to wipe the tablets and start over with them because they kind of, when you reinstall it, you go through a process and I think it probably sets this app on my phone as, you know, it syncs up my account as like the device administrator. It would have to, through Nougat and then, control the tablet that way. So I'm interested. I'm definitely going to do it. I just have to think about when I do it because if I don't reinstall all of those princess makeup apps or games for my 7-year-old,
there's going to be hell to pay.
There's going to be hell to pay. So yep, I've got to make sure everything ends up back there.
Yep. So. All right. One quick last app story, which blew my mind when I read it. And actually, I'm going to totally use this. Voodoo, the app, V-U-D-U, the mobile app now allows users to convert movies they own on DVD and Blu-ray into HD digital files for $2 a pop. All right, so all you need to do is scan the disc with the Voodoo app and then download the digital file on your desktop computer. They've got around 8,000 supported movies. Unfortunately, no Disney, so no Marvel, no Star Wars, no Pixar, etc. But for someone like me who bought hundreds of DVDs in the late 90s and early 2000s and has boxes of them, I no longer have a DVD player. I watch everything streaming and digitally and have a media hard drive with all my media files. I've been meaning to rip my own DVDs. I don't have the time to do that. If you could just take this app and scan the DVD to show that you own it and then be able to download a copy for $2, I would totally do that and get rid of all my physical media. Like, this is super cool. So good job on Voodoo. Bravo.
What would stop someone from using somebody else's library to bulk up their own library for $2 a pop?
Probably nothing.
Probably nothing.
Probably nothing except $2.
Yeah. I want my $2.
Yeah. So, and before we move on, in retrospect, I'm still laughing at Flo's funny beatnik voice. So good job, Flo.
It was so unexpected, though. But
it really was. It was really the spontaneity aspect of it that got me. Yes. I didn't expect it. And then she continued through the entire story. Is the commitment that I just got to give you thumbs up, Flo. Bravo.
I'm trying to practice my accent. So I figure, why not practice here? See how it works on a live show. Why not?
Why not, you know? Okay. I don't know. All right. Feel free to choose any voice for this email, Flo.
I have no voice for this email. Okay. I wasn't prepared to jump into voice or thinking about it.
You got to mentally prepare for the voice. Anyway,
yeah, you have to mentally prepare. But I think you guys are going to love this one because it's kind of a hot topic from today. From the Android internet. This one's from Barry. Barry says, our family has been using the Google Locations feature for the last few years. Not sure the actual name, but it seems that Google is changing this. And this was a great feature that worked through Google Plus until today. There's also a widget that worked. It's not around anymore.
So I realized, he's kind of jumping around. I didn't explain it.
That's okay. So he asks, do you guys know what's going on? Will we be able to get the feature back? And maybe you guys have heard already that this feature is bye-bye from Google Plus, but it's now rolling out to Google Maps. So I haven't seen the update yet, but weirdly, I have the widgets that now let you place or share your location with other people. And actually, I want to bring it up and see if I can show it to you guys real quick here on the webcam. Oops, sorry, Brian. I'm trying.
Share location.
There we go. Share location there on the bottom. But when I tap it, nada. Does nothing, and I don't want to show you my location. But eventually, here under your contribute, I don't know why I'm trying to do that. Under your contributions in the menu screen, it's going to give you an option to share your location with pals. And so, what that will do is it will show your location either indefinitely or per hour, however many hours you set that up for. And it will create a link that you can share with people. And as far as I know from the screenshots that I saw today that were popping around, it looks like it will kind of keep privy based on the person's Gmail or the Google account email that they're contacting you from. So that's how you'll stay privy. And there's no word how it's going to work with multiple devices. So there's still a lot of kinks to work out. But if you don't see the location sharing feature in Google Plus anymore, that's why. It's coming to everybody else. And I believe this feature is coming to iOS as well. So that's what's going on.
That would make sense. Yeah. I mean, I was a semi-regular user of the Google Plus. God, I keep unplugging my headset and then I can't.
Keep unplugging your head? No, don't do that.
It feels that way sometimes. I was a semi-regular user of the Google Plus location share feature. My wife would use it so that, you know, like she works in San Francisco. And if I was at home, it would be easy for me to know like where in the commute she was or vice versa. So, yeah, it's totally gone from my Google Plus now. I'm happy to see it come back into Maps because honestly, that's really where it deserved to be, where it needed to be. Google really just wanted everything to exist inside Google Plus. And, you know, that they're undoing all of that. And this is definitely a change that I think needed to happen.
Unraveling the features from Google Plus, slowly placing them in the apps that they and the services where they need to be.
Yeah.
And eventually Google Plus is just
gonna go away.
The answer, my friend.
I have no answer for you. I don't know.
No, the answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. Google Plus is just kind of blown in the wind. But it's not going away.
Are alive. Just kidding.
It's not going away. It's just getting trim.
Okay, well, let's before we move into the arena, let's thank our final sponsor of the night. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. And let me tell you, small businesses are the pulse of America and the world. So I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for small businesses. My dad is a small businessman, has his own computer sales and repair shop there on Long Island. I am a small businessman. I have my own media company. You know, my entire life I've been surrounded by people who are small business people. A high school classmate of mine has a small business on Long Island called the Clipper Tea Shop, selling teas on Long Island. Small businesses are what keep commerce going, and small businesses are the heart of communities and places that we could not live without. So whether you've been in business for generations or recently launched your business, creating a website on WordPress.com can make a big impact. Join the global community. 27% of all websites run on WordPress. Even if you don't have experience building a website, WordPress can guide you through the process. They have hundreds of customizable themes to get you started. You just pick a template and make it your own. You'll get built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. Their publicize feature will automatically share posts to social media networks. And you can also share previously published posts. When you build your website on WordPress, you're part of a community. With support available 24/7, you're in good company. You get answers to your questions and get back to getting stuff done. So get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Just go to wordpress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website and find the membership plan that's right for you. That's wordpress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. We thank WordPress for their support of not only All About Android, but small businesses around the world. I, for one, would be lost without WordPress. So thank you, WordPress.
Right on wordpress.com/allaboutandroid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now it's time. Well, for
so
this.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Last week, there was an arena.
Nope.
It happened. It officially happened last week. bit.ly/AAAvote310. And what were the apps? They were Ami Barlink. Apparently, I did not get. Apparently, I did not get this far in the episode. I apologize. Ami Barlink, virtual reality, and Right Today.
Whoa! And so Flo gets the win.
I'm surprised.
Virtual reality, yeah.
And delighted, but I'm delighted, and also I'm going to share that with the developers behind the app. I think they'd like to know that the audience found them interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised Ami Barlink didn't win, but let me tell you, if you're ever in a bar with one of those internet jukeboxes, you're going to want that app, so I'm just telling you. So with that win, we got a shake-up in the standings, and it just shows how important it is not to miss an episode. So through 12 weeks, thank you to Wade County and the chat room for keeping track of this. Through 12 weeks, currently in first place is me with 38 points. The guests are in second with 36. Flo moves into third with 29 points. And Jason, you're coming up in last with 25 points. But let me tell you, if Flo wins this week,
only 3-point difference.
Exactly. Like, that's 3-point difference in second place, Flo. It's very easy to climb these standings with a win. So,
dang,
good job.
So, nice work.
Ron says from the very top above us all.
Well, for now, I mean, I was leading last year, and then I lost spectacularly by the end of the year. So, yeah.
You never know how it's going to go.
Never know. All right, let's do this.
All right, since I was out, I will pay the ultimate price and go first. This is a game that I love to hate and I hate to love. It's called Egg Incorporated. And I don't know if you guys have heard of this game. I'm going to turn down the music because it's going to be too distracting for me. But basically, it's a game of kind of strategy and economics around running a... Here, I'll go ahead and collect this. Running a farm of producing eggs, essentially. And you build up over time. So
Jason, this is very Petaluma of you. I'm sorry.
I didn't even think about that.
I'm sorry.
But you're right. It totally is. There are chickens everywhere in Petaluma. Maybe it's totally subconscious. Oh, there's some drones. So I'm going to knock those out of the sky.
Drones also very Petaluma.
So you can see here, I was playing this pretty heavily on the plane, and I haven't opened it since yesterday. I'm all out of sorts. So it's strategy in the sense that you build from nothing to create these like chicken coops, right? And you got to build them bigger as your business grows, as you start creating more powerful, vitamin-rich eggs. Like, these are some eggs that I produced in the past. And, you know, as you get to a certain point, as your empire rises, you can upgrade to produce even better eggs.
Your chicken empire?
Your chicken empire, exactly. You can create silos to store things so that if I'm stepping away from the game and I want to come back a day later, it can produce a certain amount while I'm gone, or while I'm here, I can do it. You can see this big bar down at the bottom. Now watch, if I tap that, oh, everything's full. Okay, so let's jump in. So these are my silos. They are totally full. In the time that I've been gone, they have filled with eggs at 2 capacity. So I have to upgrade these. You can see up here is the value of my whole empire. Right now it's at $420 trillion. That's how awesome my empire is. So I'm going to upgrade these. Go ahead and upgrade these. And you can see the capacity jumps down. So I now have more room to produce eggs. And you want to do this because basically the overall point is to build your empire as fast as possible. Now I'll hold down this bar and it starts sending chickens into these places to start producing eggs. And you can see right here, this is kind of my progress bar of how many eggs I'm producing and how, you know, if I need to take a break because you can only produce so many in a short amount of time. I could go faster. I could produce more eggs faster if I tap it. So there's a little bit of strategy there. You can see a little truck riding in here. This is my like pickup center. So I have to go in here. I have to upgrade my vehicles that I have because they can't keep up with the output of the amount of eggs that I'm producing. So I'll go ahead and upgrade to bigger vehicles here. And you can see that kind of brings that chart down a little bit so I have more of a capacity. Now I'm only $68 trillion, which is pretty paltry if you ask me. But my daily gift, 48 super eggs. So super eggs you can use to hopefully you're keeping up. Super eggs you can use to do research. This is epic research. So these are little skills that enhance your ability to produce eggs over time that go from farm to farm. And so these use golden eggs. So I'll go ahead and get hold to hatch, which holds, which is basically improves the amount of chickens that I can create if I hold down that chicken button. It improves it by 2 chickens per second. I'll go ahead and do that. That was 82 golden eggs. Otherwise, you've also got this other research area, which goes off of the money that you have. Right now I'm at $75 trillion that I have, and a lot of these things I've already built up for this particular farm. But right, motivational clucking. Maximum running chicken bonus increased by 0.1 times. I'll research, that's $59 trillion that it costs for me to do that. I've increased that, and now, you know, it just in the scope of using the game, of playing the game, I can produce more and increase the value of my farm more and more as a result. And, you know, like I just got payment $5 quintillion. So I'll go ahead and collect that. And now a quadrillion, actually. So I said I love and hate this game at the same time. I love it because the sense of strategy and the cute factor and everything is really addictive. There's little there's drones that fly by. You tap them to knock them out of the sky, and that gives you little bonuses like money bonus or golden egg bonus or whatever. It's really a lot of it's very interesting to play from that perspective. I hate it because it's like it's the essence of opening a game and doing very little for a long period of time. Like, so much of this game is me tapping this or holding this to produce chickens so that I can get eggs faster. Like, it's the epitome of playing a game where so much of it is just me pushing a button and staring at the screen. And I feel like I need to hate it for that reason. Yet at the same time, it's fun and it's enjoyable, and I haven't sunk a single penny into it, though I could if I wanted to get boosts and all that sort of stuff, but I choose not to. There's a drone. Get the drone. There we go. That drone was worth $20 trillion. Excellent. When you start out with a farm that's, you know, in the scope of like $10, $20 is a lot, you know, $100 is a lot, and then farm after farm raises it. It's almost like it takes pride in allowing you to make more money than, you know, there's even a word for. So it's kind of cool from that perspective. Anyways, it's called Egg Incorporated, and it's Petaluma's finest. Although it wasn't developed.
45 million eggs a year back in the, anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah. Egg Incorporated. It's a lot of fun to play. At the same time, it's just
wow, look at those skyscrapers.
I know, I haven't gotten that far. Wait a minute, you can go to Skyscraper Town? I want to go there. I guess I've got to work harder.
Lots to work towards, Jason.
Yeah, I love it and hate it at the same time. Yes, exactly. JJ in chat, egg capitalism. That is what Egg Incorporated is all about. All right, that's my game. Who's next? Ron.
I am up next. I had another app lined up, and then I actually saw this morning and I played with it, and I thought, oh, this is neat and this is too cool. Giphy, which you might know for as the purveyors of GIFs around the internet, they came out with this app that's called the Giphy MoGA, which is the Museum of GIF Art. And what I thought, this is really interesting. You're going to want to go horizontal there on your phone, Jason. This app works both with Daydream and without Daydream. Okay. And so you don't need to have a Daydream VR headset in order to use it. You can just use it with your phone, just stick it out in front of you. But what it allows you to do is it allows you to enter a virtual GIF-based museum exhibit. And it's really kind of trippy and really kind of fascinating. So once it's all loaded, it's loading in a doc. So it asks you if you have a VR viewer, and you need to – there's a little dot in the center of the screen, and you need to move the dot to know, you know.
Right. Okay, got it.
And so you just move that and then tap, and then it will move forward, right?
Got it.
And so then now once you do that, you fall into the exhibit, and what happens is that but don't go in the hole yet. Huh? If you move the phone around, right? And it's hard to see on camera, but as you move the phone, it's as if your phone is the VR viewer, so you can see what's around you in the exhibit. And then as you see everything in each room, there is a little hole. And if you tilt the phone at that hole that you're in front of.
Oh, no, I went forward.
Yeah, now you need to turn around.
Oh, yeah, so. Okay, go away from me for a second. I will turn around and go there.
See,
hopefully this will work. Take me back. So, okay, Okay.
Yeah. So once you get to that hole, so you fell through the hole and now you're in part of the exhibit that's actually the next room is via a flashlight. And so you need to find the hole again and move through. But it's almost like Portal in that you move through the different rooms in the exhibit. I know this flashlight one isn't great for demoing it, but you can move through the different rooms of the exhibit and see the different art designs and artworks. And trust me, this is super cool. But
it's hard to show off on fixed camera is the problem.
Yeah, but if Brian goes to the Google Play Store entry, you can see the screenshots from it. And the idea of this is that this is also a real life exhibit that's currently happening in Silicon Valley right now. So you can actually go there in person, in real life and check it out. I forget exactly where it is, but. But they ported it. And so what you can do is you can see all this different artwork in this virtual museum exhibit, which just gets really trippy and really kind of crazy. But it's a fun way to play with VR, and you don't even need the VR headset to use it. So there you go. There you're back in. So now if you go through that hole, you fall into another room, and now you're in a room where you've gotten a little cocktail. Right. Oh. They give you things in each room, and you can see and you're going to drop into the water there. Right. This is pretty cool. Like, and so it's VR without, if you have a Daydream headset, it's that much better.
Yeah.
But again, and if you're not doing a demo on a podcast, you're able to just move your phone around as that's your point of view and see everything. So there it is. Giphy Moga, Museum of GIF Art. It's free to download and it's just a trippy, fun experience. Highlighted if you have a Daydream VR headset. So
nice. Excellent pick. I would love to see this in Daydream View, which I will do after the show. Nice. Excellent. Let me get out of here. Okay, so Flo, I can't believe this has never been in the arena, but it hasn't. Bravo for finding this. For real.
I've been saving this for a long time. So my app is called AmpMe, and it is a social music app. So basically, if you're a millennial or a person who's just really enthused about music and you use apps like Spotify, YouTube, or SoundCloud to listen to music, or you've got a lot of locally stored files, you can use this on your phone and have it integrate with other people's phones so that essentially you're creating a stereo network of music and you're all just dancing to it like a bunch of fools. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to invite our friend Jason Howell to listen to a song. Jason, are you in the group?
Let's see here. So I'm waiting for your invite.
Okay, you're waiting for my invite. Let's see.
This is going to be great.
This is really this is really clunky, but I'm trying to figure out how to I'm going to send you an allo.
Okay, yeah, do that. Do that. That's fine.
Sorry.
And then I'll get the message.
All right, so I'm sending Jason an allo message that tells him to join my awesome party, and it's giving him a URL. So he's going to click on it, and while he's clicking on it, I'm going to set up over here on my end by adding songs to the queue so that he can listen.
All right, so I have logged in.
Into my darn Spotify account. What the heck?
Well, I'm in there. I'm at the party. There's nothing playing right now.
I'm
ready to get down. Guys. I'm ready to get – I signed up for Spotify just for this.
All right. Here we go. I'm in.
All right.
I'm in, y'all.
Ooh,
all
nice, right. Brian. Nice.
Song now is he's waiting for me.
It's okay. I'm getting a cocktail right now.
Okay. You're getting a cocktail.
I'm loosening up.
I cannot find the artist that we had talked about before the show, so I'm just going to go
I'm going to tell you, Flo. It's UNDERWORLD.
You're not playing Pink. Come on.
No, we picked a song before the show and Flo's blowing it.
It's okay.
Blowing it. Hold on. We're making this happen.
Okay.
All right. It should be playing.
It should.
Now you have to log into Spotify.
But I already did that. Okay. I will do that. Hold on. It's not always the most straightforward.
We set this up before the show for everyone.
Yeah, we did set this up before the show.
We did.
Anyway, I'm playing Ron's song right now.
Okay. That's Underworld. That's the Underworld that I expect. that I appreciate. God, why is it? Yeah.
And
it's okay. Just feel the music for a second.
We're just feeling the music right now.
Maybe we can.
So good.
You guys hear my phone? This microphone's amazing.
Oh yeah.
We have Ron dancing.
He's happy. Yeah. What? How did we have this all set up and now it's just not working for me?
Oh no. Will this affect the performance of my app in the arena?
No, but it shouldn't, because we had it going before the show and we were recording that. So we should what we should do is play a little bit. The unfortunate thing is that is pink. But if you want to see what it's like to be synced up, check this out from the pre-show right now. So.
Well, apparently I can send you an aloe to join my awesome party. Can you hear it? I'm having a party.
Let's see here. So I have the app installed. I use this location. Okay. This artist called Pink.
Okay, we got it.
Never heard of her.
The problem is I'm not a Spotify subscriber. I'm going to see if logging into Spotify, even though I'm not a paid subscriber, works.
Oh, I didn't end the party. It's still going.
Okay.
The never-ending party.
Now I stopped it.
Wasn't that awesome? That was Pink. Pink is so cool.
I don't know. I think Underworld is a bit cooler.
Okay, all right, fine. Whatever.
This is more fun when you're in person, but it's just to show you that it works over your accounts that you have. You can use it with friends. The best place you would want to use this particular app, two places actually. Number one is a house party. Number two is a camping trip. If you have locally stored files, you could do this. That way you can have a sort of like stereo.
Okay, so does it require Wi-Fi or anything like that? No?
If you have local files.
I see. Yeah, okay.
That's a good point. By the way, we're still playing the music for you, it looks like.
So Flo, is there a solution that doesn't involve camping?
Hanging out at the park.
Okay, good. There you go.
All right.
Anyway, here you go. Amp Me. Start a new party whenever you're ready.
Amp Me is actually super cool. When I saw that you put it in the app, I was convinced that we had it before, but we had not. If I knew that, I would have done it myself because it's super
cool.
And
they just added Spotify support. So the Spotify support is new. It used to be limited to Google Play and SoundCloud.
Is it available for Google Play? Because I remember when I played around with it, it was just SoundCloud, and that was kind of the Achilles heel. It was like, okay.
I'm sorry. Tube.
Is it? Oh, YouTube. There we go. Yeah, so it's YouTube, Music Another Library, Google SoundCloud, Play. And Spotify.
Yeah, no, because Google Play doesn't have an outbound API like this. I mean, that's why you don't see these integrations. So.
Right, which is a bummer. Mars Worm in chat says, I swear I've heard of this app before. I had shown it off on Android App Arena, but not on the show. I swear we covered it on the show, but we did a search in the dock and nothing.
Yeah, it's not in the archive, nor it was in the doc. I know I did an app that was similar to it, or there was an app that was similar to it. And I think when I looked at this app, that's why I didn't bring it to the arena. But I do remember it, but Flo gets in. It's in the arena now. There you go.
It's Flo's. She could run away with it.
Getting dark in my room.
Yeah, I know what's happening. What is it getting?
The sunset.
Oh, okay. I guess so. Yeah, it's really changing. It's like once you started playing Underworld, your room turned into
the sun's really nightclub. Hurry!
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's do that then. bit.ly/AAAvote311. That's bit.ly/AAAvote311. Let's know which is your favorite app of the week. Is it Egg Incorporated, Giphy or Jiffy, Moga or Amp Me, one word. Fill in your vote for your favorite app and we'll check in on it next week.
What's Brian going to vote for? I want to know what Brian's voting for.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a really good question. Brian, what are you going to vote
for? That's a lot of pressure, guys. Well,
the influential Brian always. Vote.
All right. let me pull up the website. Burke was saying, well, he was pointing out that Flo has a bunch of cords wrapped around her microphone, which was something he wanted to mention to me.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I saw that earlier.
I come to my house and play.
I was gonna wait until earlier, to later in the show to mention that, but yeah.
cord there is.
But guys, as far as app choice, I gotta go with my hometown. It's gotta be eggs.
Wow.
Enjoy your chickens.
I do. Look at this egg basket. This is my history here. Was it? It's 45 million dozen eggs.
That's insane. Days.
That's crazy.
45 million dozen eggs. This just reminds me of the game that I play. So thank you, Brian.
You're welcome, Jason. Good luck in the game this
you
year.
Too can live in Petaluma by playing Egg Incorporated. That is it. bit.ly/AAAvote311. All right. We've done it. That's all the news there is to talk about. There's no more news. Sorry.
It's done. It's finished. Android is done.
Until next week. Until tomorrow morning, actually. Don't miss it. Ron Richards and myself will be on set here at Twit Live, twit.tv/live. Wow, this is a little Inception.
Whoa, that's
here.
It's very Infinity. Meta. Infinity.
But
I just to clarify, I won't be in studio. I will be here on Skype, but you'll be there, Jason. So.
I'll be here in studio. You'll be in studio digitally via TV.
And I'll be on Twitter.
And you'll be on Twitter. We're all going to be paying close attention, obviously, to the Samsung Galaxy S8 or whatever it is, but it's the S8 announcement tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific. So, and then next week, we'll talk all about it on the show, as we usually do. Flo, what are you working on other than Samsung Galaxy S8? Coverage.
What are you talking about?
Well, coverage tomorrow. I imagine, are you covering it or you're just following it?
Oh, she just got very defensive for no reason.
I mean, I assume that you're watching the event tomorrow? No.
I told you, I'm still not over the Note 7.
That's true. You
but,
did say that.
You could see me express my disdain for the end of the Note 7's existence in our lives on Twitter and Snapchat at Oh That Flow. And of course, I will be musing about whatever the heck is going on tomorrow in New York City regarding the Galaxy S8, which it is.
We all know that it is. All right, so follow you on Twitter to get your. God, it really is getting darker there.
Flow. I'll be around, and of course, everything on Android Central. And now I fade to black.
Sun's gone. The sun burned out. No more Flow. Thank you. What about you, Ron?
Yes, so I will also be there tomorrow on Skype in the Twit Studio. Talk about Samsung tomorrow morning. Looking forward to it. But aside from that. I will be you can also follow me on Twitter at RonXO, where you can see me talking about my various podcasts. Check out Damn Fine Podcast, where me and Tom Merritt are revisiting and rewatching Twin Peaks. Very exciting. And we're going to be doing that up until season 3 starts in May. And then we'll be reviewing the new episodes in May. So it's definitely a fun show to subscribe to and listen if you like Twin Peaks. And if you like comic books, check out ifanboy.com, where we're doing weekly podcasts about comic books, as well as comic book movies and TV shows, etc. We have not podcasted about Iron Fist yet because we're taking our time watching it because it is poo-poo. But I'm sure at some point we'll get to it. So.
It's poo-poo.
You had me at poo-poo, Ron. It certainly made me do a double take because I didn't expect that word from you.
That's a good description.
Can that be the show title?
We've got a lot of show titles, by the way. We'll figure that out after the show. Thank you, Ron. I'll talk to you in a few hours.
Yes.
Go to bed.
What about you, Brian?
You can find me doing Know How with Padre on Thursdays, and then we have a episode that goes out on Mondays, too. And Ron, I was just listening to the podcast, Damn Fine Podcast. I'm catching up. I just listened to episode number 17. I think it's Arbitrary Law.
And that's a good one.
Oh, just having you guys talk about Bob in Twin Peaks.
Oh, don't say it.
Yeah.
Don't say Bob. Don't say Bob. That's bad.
Giving me the creeps. Flo, did you ever watch Twin Peaks? Didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, as we teased previously, Brian, you're going to be coming on the show soon. So keep watching and keep getting prepared to podcast with the giants like me and Tom Merritt.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it. So otherwise, you can follow me at Cranky_Hippo on Twitter.
Don't forget the underscore, because Cranky Hippo.
That guy hasn't tweeted in years. And I don't know how to...
Give up the name, man.
He should, right?
Should.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm over it. I swear.
Whatever, man.
It's so dark in my room.
I know. It really is. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Don't forget, we have All About Android merchandise. We have all sorts of Twit merchandise if you go to twit.tv/store. But I know for a long time, we were getting lots of requests from people saying, I want to buy like the All About Android, you know, shirt or whatever. You can do that now. Just go to twit.tv/store and get them and then wear them and then take a picture of you wearing them and then send them in and maybe we'll put it on the show. Yeah?
All right. Please.
Please. Yeah, I forgot the magic word. Please. But that's it for this week. Thank you so much. This was a great episode. We all had a lot of fun today. And thank you for joining us, as we always love having you guys around. Voicemail is 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit where you can post links to stories you're following in Android at twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, and catch us live Tuesdays, 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.